Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
Okay, welcome to RIP. I feel okay, feel a little crazy. Had a very difficult week getting through it. This weird thing happens when you go through something that is hard, where people come out of the woodwork suddenly that you forgot about and that you forgot that you needed them so much. Like today I was walking my dog and somebody bent over and was petting her and I was like, who is this fucker? And I looked up and it was a friend that I needed so much today, and I just broke into tears and was like, this is insane that I'm just randomly running into you because I needed to see you. And it was really nice. And yeah, I think when you get stuck in something gloomy and dark, you kind of like put these blinders on and hyper fixate on it. Because you're like, if I blur out all of the other good, then this thing looks pretty nice. And I think that's what I was doing. I think that when you have to focus really hard on something to find the good in it, I think, you have to erase everything else that's good around you. Yeah. So I think you guys know I'm talking about a breakup. I can't hide it. It's weird. It's weird being a 34-year-old woman, and all my friends are going through it, single. It's lucky for me I'm not, like, 100% sure I want kids. I wouldn't mind having a kid happen, but I'm not gung-ho about it. But, yeah, it is weird watching all of these women go through this phase of like being super happy that they're single and then go through this phase of being like, okay, but I gotta lock it down quick. That's a weird thing. I mean, that's a weird phenomenon to have somebody feel so liberated for the first time in so long and feel so free and good and then slowly be like, I gotta put myself back in this prison. And I don't mean the prison of whatever the relationship they choose. I just mean the prison of trying to find somebody, learning about them, getting disappointed by them, figuring out that they don't have what it takes to be in a relationship. And it is weird. And it's all this, like, desire to procreate and have a family. And I think that the longer you hold out and, like, don't fall prey to this whole idea of, like, time running out. I mean, this whole, like, myth around women having to have kids. Like, so many of my friends have kids at, like, 40. It's fine. But I think there's just this, like, fear tactic going on so that we can make people buy more food. Because if you have a family, you buy more food or something. Like, it just feels crazy. But I do feel good. I mean, I feel sad. But I do feel more like aligned with honesty, which is good. I feel less like spazzy. Less spazzy. I feel less spazzy. I feel more centered. Oh, the coffee. Let's go. Thank you. You're the best. Oh, my God. I can't have chocolate right now, but I do want it. But I won't have it. But I want it. Don't bring it to me. I can't have sugar right now. Because I'm itchy. And this new diet has had me lose 10 pounds. And I'm eating more calories than I've ever been able to in my life. So I'm sticking with it. But no sugar. No bread. And it sucks. I eat a lot of fish. A lot of avocados. A lot of chia. A lot of fats. Feel good about it. Here's the deal. There's two sides of you. There's one side that's like, you're going to be alone forever. You're a fat, ugly pig. You have to make everything better. You can't. You have to eat sugar or else you'll be, because that's what you need, because that's who you are. You're the sugar monster. And if you don't have that. And then there's this other side of you that's like, you don't got to keep suffering. You just don't have to do it. You can stop the bad things. Just stop the bad things. But that other person is has muscles, is jacked. That other person is a jacked man because you've been fucking beefing up those muscles. You've been beefing up those muscles to give yourself the things that are bad for you. You're like, I've done this my whole life. I've been with people who don't love me back my whole life. My family didn't love me back. My fucking nobody loved me back. And now I'm so muscular that my muscles know how to be with somebody who doesn't love me back. I've been eating sugar since I was 4 years old. I can eat sugar every day. That's what I do. That's what these muscles are for. And then there's this scrawny person who's like, but what if we didn't? What if we just didn't do it one time? And you just got to get that dude jacked. You got to get that dude jacked. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get the Jordan jacked that's like,
maybe we could be in a relationship that didn't feel like I had to be somebody I'm not in order for it to be okay.
You know?
Maybe being alone is actually exactly what you need right now because you're about to have a special out and you didn't do a lot of press and you can be really overwhelmed and you need your friends around you and not just one person who you're kind of on the lam with. Maybe you just need, like maybe you need to be alone.
And the big strong guy goes, shut up. Shut up. You're little and you're not strong and you never talk like this before.
Yeah, but I just think maybe if I can work out a little bit, maybe I could borrow the barbells for a second.
No, they're my barbells. You can't have the barbells because I'm fucking using them to make this bitch miserable.
Oh, okay, well, maybe I'll just pick up some little things at a time and lift them up and get stronger on my own. You can have the barbells. You can have that. But I'm just going to practice over here.
And then you go in at night. You go in at night and you go, I got the barbells, do some lifting. And you go,
no, I'm too tired. He was too mean all day.
And I go, no, you can do it. Journal. Don't eat sugar. Exercise. See your friends. Stay an hour later out with your friends so that you have community. Do it. You can do it.
No, I just want to go to bed so that tomorrow comes faster because maybe tomorrow I'll feel better.
No, you won't feel better. You live in the moment.
Oh, okay, I'll do it.
And you get stronger. You get that little guy stronger. And that's what I'm going to do. I've done it before. But then I whittled him down. I said, you eat all the gummy bears you want, big guy. And he got strong again. And you know what's really crazy? My body, not happy that I'm not eating sugar. Flare-ups everywhere. Itchy rashes all over my body because all the sugar is dying. It wants it. It wants it bad. But I'm not going to do it because I'm going to get stronger. Why not? Try something new. Try something new. I've been doing this my whole life. I've been fucking chasing dudes around my whole life. Try something new. I quit the game. How about that? How about that? Since I was in kindergarten, I've been begging dudes to kiss me. Kindergarten, little pervert. I mean, it's crazy. At some point, you gotta try something new. You only got this much life. Why just spend it doing the same thing repeatedly over and over and over? Give it a rest. That's what I'm gonna do. It's hard, though. I will not deny that it is hard. It is hard. And sometimes, you fuck up, and you think, that guy doesn't have any muscles. He fucked up. But he didn't. He just was looking away for a second and the strong guy came in. It's fine. Just pass the torch back over to the little guy. He'll get there. So that's where I'm at. I'm going to Alaska for a week, which will be fun. Coyote's going. Maybe I should put a little coyote vest on her. Those spiky ones. She'd look good in that. So that no animals get her. I got a suit tailored. That feels pretty good. Man. You ever get something tailored? I think that might be the best feeling in the world, standing like that with somebody organizing fabric around you. Whatever that is good. whatever that feeling is, being tended to while you stand on a pedestal and somebody just makes everything fit right to your body. And they go, hey, your body's not wrong. This suit's wrong. Let me fix it. Ho-ho! That's nice. It is nice. I want to do it way more. I got a sick, like, it's like a Western 70s style suit, way big. I got the vest made into like a tight little shirt, baggy pants, baggy blazer. What's up? I want to go to the tailor every day. It's a lot of money though. $200 suit, $400 tailor. That's a lot. But that's a $600 suit, and that's pretty good. Yeah. Things are good. It's gonna be hard. Yeah. I'm just talking to myself in here.
What are you talking to yourself about?
You know what I was talking to myself? You ever go to a tailor?
Yeah.
Sit down.
Yeah, I have. I've been to a tailor.
It's
pretty cool.
Can I tell you something? I'm all in on it. I think it's the best feeling in the entire world.
I'm like a little bit more success. I'm gonna start getting tailored T-shirts.
Whoa.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm at. I'm not a suit guy. I'm gonna get tailored jeans and I'm gonna get tailored T-shirts. I'm just gonna look fit stuff. I got no butt and wide hips.
I got no butt.
So I gotta do something about it.
I don't even have wide hips. I'm just a Lego man.
Oh no.
I know.
How are your calves? Are your calves
so strong?
Yeah.
So strong.
You want like big butt, big calves.
You want big tits. You want big butt. I got nothing. Yeah. I got no
but
tits.
I feel like all that stuff expires quickly. That was Joe List's argument, because I was a big boob guy. He's a small boobs guy, and his argument was always big boobs spoil fast.
They do spoil fast.
Yeah, but they're still there.
No, they're not. They're flat.
But they're just like,
you can lay them down, organize them. You can organize them.
Man, you just slap them around.
Yeah. Your girlfriend doesn't have big tits.
She's got great tits. They're not giant. They're perfect. They're perfect.
They're perfect tits.
Perfect tits.
But she's little. She's a little girl.
She's a special little lady. She's got a great butt.
Great butt?
Great butt.
God, I would kill for a great butt. I have a 90s butt.
She has a fantastic butt where I just go like childlike. We'll be at home.
Whoa,
and I'll be
whoa.
Like, no, no, no.
Oh, you're childlike.
Butt. I'll be childlike. Yeah.
It's almost as good as a
just
child.
Just like a little tiny kid butt. No, she'll be up and I'll be like pubescent boy, like, whoa.
Yeah.
Oh.
I get that way about butts, my friend's
I
go, butts.
I could touch that butt.
They're crazy. Yeah. I was thinking about this, why we like butts. It's like blubber on the poop part. I like blubber on the poop part.
Dude, my mom liked, there's the Colorado Rockies, when they became an expansion team in 1993, they had a player named Dante Bichette. His son plays in the major leagues right now. He's really good. But Dante Bichette was a really good-looking guy. But she'd take me to, like, a Rockies. I was a Giants fan, so when the Giants were in town, we'd watch Rockies Giants. And she'd be like, oh, I just love Dante Bichette's butt. And immediately, no Oedipal complex or anything, but immediately I'm like, why would a woman ever like a guy's butt? It does nothing. It just makes poop.
Why do you like a girl's butt?
Because it's a little fucking splash zone. You watch the butt ripple when you have sex.
Oh.
It's just a cool thing to move. It's like a little, it's like the seismograph for how you know you're doing good at sex when the butt's like really shaking.
Oh. No, we like a guy's butt because it's muscle.
Okay.
We don't like a fat ass.
No, but guys do.
Yeah.
We'll take anything.
Yeah, you'll take anything.
If it's big,
we
it's
like
great.
A muscular butt because it means it can lift.
Yeah.
It can lift our body.
Just plow you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but and lift and plow. It's very primal.
It's primal, and you know, like I was talking to Jeremiah about this, when a guy has sex with you from the back, you're imagining their ass doing that dog thing where it's
I have like the little dog when they try to like I have no butt. You know, have you seen the one where they put the Frenchie and he's like up and it looks like every dude that just does arms and upper body.
And oh yeah, like, and he's walking.
That's
around.
How I feel when I'm behind. Like
yeah.
Yeah, it's guys with big butts are weird though. When you notice a guy has a big butt, it changes
the way.
Well,
it's autism a lot. High butt is autistic. You ever notice a shirt?
I feel like this is like some phrenology is like old
no,
science.
No, it's literally from the science of, I've lived 34 years. I've found out some things.
Yeah.
If you have the high shelf butt and you're a man, it's always paired with autism. Or serious working out. Some black dudes have it.
Yeah.
But if you're a white guy and you have the high butt, it's because you've been walking on your tiptoes from being autistic.
You are, so that it comes at a cost.
It comes at a cost.
Shelf butt.
Yeah.
But you're retarded.
Yeah. I mean, I remember one of my friends was like, I think my brother's autistic. And I was like, no,
Let me see if I can put a drink on that thing.
Yeah. And he goes, no, he's got the butt. And I was like, nah, I'm sorry.
Can he pop it for me? Can he pop it?
They can pop it. Haven't you seen the shirt that gets stuck? Remember, we used to call it nerd butt. That's what we called it in high school, where the shirt would get stuck on the butt of the autistic kid wearing like sweatpants.
And the shirt would get caught?
Yeah, because it just was such a fat ass.
So he couldn't pull his shirt up or
he
what?
Couldn't get it all the way down. It would just like hook.
The butt would just shelf out?
Yeah.
That's a fat butt.
Yeah, I know.
That's crazy.
I know.
If you're autism. A girl and you have that thing, it is like, if you're great. A guy, it's autism. If you're a girl and you have that thing, it's like your teenage years and 20s, you are prey. Like a butt like yeah. that, you
Dude,
can't go out of the house.
Do you remember those girls who just got tits fast?
Oh, my God.
Those poor, I mean, what
I mean,
they...
listen, I was one of the hyenas that was whooping at them, but it was like, you don't realize tits early is a death sentence.
It's a death sentence. I strapped mine down. I got little pointy tits, and my dad was like, you have to get a bra, and I was like, I will not. We will strap them down.
Just fucking strap them
no,
down.
No way, and I still walk like this. I mean, the...
It's like if you're out in nature and you see that, it's like zombies. Like they see you and they're
Yeah.
Big tits.
And they just
especially
think,
in middle school.
They just think,
when people
oh, you
started
fuck.
Getting tits. Yeah.
It could be like the bookworm in the corner with fat tits and you're like, she loves a dick between her tits. She
they,
loves
they have to.
She
and
loves
it. And then she goes, no, I love horses.
Yeah.
I love brushing my porcelain
Although,
horse hair.
Can we talk about this? Horse girls? Huge whores.
Yeah, they're like nurses.
They are like, what's like, going on with, how come every nurse I know besides Ethan SP just loves Coke? Just loves Coke.
Oh, I don't know about Coke.
Oh my God.
I know that, I get it. Nurses fuck a lot because they're in such like dire circumstances. They're just watching
they
people.
They see death. They see death.
They see death. They see people hurt. They see people like in pain.
Yeah.
And then they're like, I just got to get my rocks off. Like just let
before
me
before I die, which is coming because I see it every day.
Death is very real for nurses.
Yeah,
but also that was always like life knowledge. Where when you got old enough, someone's like, try to fuck a nurse, but don't ever like if you fall in love with one, they will cheat on you, and you're like, nah, they won't. Not
really.
Me. Yeah, you should look it up. It's like pretty crazy.
And they have good butts.
They have.
Time.
I mean, they're like. Those are where hot girls who have good hearts go.
Yeah.
So of course.
Of course they got good butts.
Yeah.
I got a bad heart.
They
no
have
butt.
Good heart. And they're like, oh, I just want to help people. I want to take care of people.
You got it. My theory is you have to marry somebody who used to be an ugly pig.
Yes.
That's the move.
You need to marry someone that had a horrible time in public for a while.
Yes.
And whether it be middle school, high school, adulthood, childhood, you have to go with someone that really got broken down.
Yeah.
Because Katie had a tough middle school. I had a real tough middle school. You know. And
what was your tough middle school?
I just was, I was very awkward as far as the opposite sex. And I think I was very childlike because I was just like into like kids stuff all
you
the
still
way.
Are.
But, oh, yeah. I'm a man boy.
Yeah.
But. Back then, I was also like starting to do drugs and shit. So I was like in two places at once. So I wasn't myself. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I was like trying to be cool with my bad kid friends, smoking weed, smoking cigarettes. And then I'd come home and play with action figures and just wanted to be like a little kid again.
Oh.
But I was like 12, 13. And then, you know, you're just like, that's not good. I didn't come into my own skin until like my 20s.
My middle school, fat, goth.
Great.
Cigarettes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shunned.
Cutting.
Wow. Yeah, I was really depressed, but I didn't know what it was. And also just my home life wasn't great. So I was just like, oh. And then high school people started dying, and then that got real. And then you're like, oh, well, substances. And then substances kind of became my identity, at least into my like mid-20s.
The worst part about middle school, like looking back on it, is I feel like I was a parasite a little bit. Like I would choose a friend and be like, we are going to be fucking friends forever.
Yeah, that was always a move that you saw in middle school where you're like, this person wants to hang out too much.
That was me.
Yeah.
And their parents would be like, you have to go home. And I'd be like, I live here.
I did that in middle school.
You did that?
Yeah, I did that with my friend Mike in 7th and 8th grade. I would stay at his house almost every weekend. Like,
they
bring
like
a
it.
Bag with
yes.
me and put it in my locker in middle school, or even in high school, and then go stay at his house because he lived by the middle school. I'd just go like stay at his house Friday night and Saturday night.
Yeah. And I remember the betrayal of the parents wanting me to leave, but then I remember the kid being like, I do want some alone time with my family, and me being like, Oh, this is the worst form of betrayal I have ever felt.
I will hate you until the day I die.
Mike
knew that I didn't want to go home.
Yeah.
Mike knew that, and he would like sleep over at my house sometimes just to be like, and by the way, this is why we're staying at your house. You got a bathroom in your bedroom.
You had a bathroom in your bedroom?
No, he did.
Oh,
got that kind of energy?
Yeah.
Bathroom in a bedroom was like.
That's crazy.
He had a TV in his room.
Wow.
VHS? Of course we'd sleep in his house. Dude, he had Sega Channel. I'm older than you, but Sega Channel was like
TV.
Revolutionary. It was a television station you paid for where you could play all the Sega games. So you would pay for Sega Channel, and then you just go like, I don't know, let's play Summer Olympics. And you just go play Summer Olympics. And then you go, let's play.
He was rich?
They did well. They were doing well. They weren't like rich, but his stepdad worked for the Broncos, and his mom was like, she worked at JCPenney doing like interior design. So their house was really nice.
And you like a finished basement, kind of nice?
Yes.
You know,
half finished. It didn't get fully finished, I think. But his stepdad fucking ruled. It was awesome. And then they lived in the new development, like by the high school.
Are you still friends with Mike?
Yeah, he's the head coach of the Miami Dolphins.
Nice.
Yeah, dude. So now I ask for different hookups. I used to be like, there used to be this like instant milkshake. I love milkshakes.
Yeah.
And there was these muscle milkshakes called EAS.
Yeah.
Right? I forget what the acronym was for, but the Denver Broncos were like really big into EAS. It was all over Mile High Stadium. It was all over shit. And they would get, because his stepdad worked for the Broncos, they'd get these boxes of EAS shakes. So I'd go to his house and be like, yo, let me get an EAS
shake. As an adult?
No, as a fucking 12-year-old.
Oh, okay, as a 12-year-old.
I was like.
And now you're like, give me tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'd be like, let me get those EAS shakes. And now I go, I want special sweet chicken tenders. Let me go to your coach suite and have chicken tenders.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is sick.
It's good.
Yeah, he's awesome in his job, so it's like great.
And does he get things from you ever?
What am I going to give him?
I don't know.
I've gotten tickets to the Punchline when he was with the 49ers. He like came and saw me. That was cool. But yeah, free comedy
tickets.
That's also
for you. He's like, we have to go see my friend Dan.
Yeah.
He needs
He's never like, I need to know what bits he's got going on. He's like, yeah, my friend's in town. I got to go see him.
Did you have poor family?
Did I have a poor family? We were right in the middle. My dad's family... My dad was just off the map. My dad is like
Was he in a trailer?
Well, sometimes, depending on who he was dating.
Yeah.
But he lived in Northern California with my grandma. But my mom had me in the burbs in Denver. Middle class.
And then you'd go see your dad?
Yeah, my dad was like the wake-up call where you'd go see him and be like, "What the fuck?"
Really?
Cuz when my grandma and him lived in San Francisco, it was great. They lived in an apartment. You know what I mean? Like a two-bedroom apartment. My dad would sleep on the pull-out couch. My grandma had, like, it was her apartment.
Yeah.
But it was in Marin, so it was, like, nice. So it'd be, like, in a cool place in Greenbrae. And then when they moved north to Lake County is when it got real dark.
He lived with his mom up until the age of?
When he died. I mean, he lived, like, there'd be months that he would have, like, a apartment, but he was, like, an alcoholic.
So, he was an alcoholic?
Like a real alcoholic. None of these motherfuckers that love the... It's like the way people say they're autistic now. They're like, I'm autistic. Like, I don't drink anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not an alcoholic compared to my father.
Yeah.
My dad was like, bout it.
Like during the day, morning.
I mean, would drink a liter of vodka a day and plus. That was the baseline.
But do you ever meet somebody who's like that now and you're like...
I kind of keep away from that. I don't want that energy around me. Once my dad died and I stopped getting away from that.
What did he die? Liver?
Yeah. He got hepatitis C and it turned into cirrhosis.
Cirrhosis of the liver.
Yeah. Cirrhosis fucking gets your liver.
How old is he?
He was 48 when he died.
Yeah, my dad was 58, but it was cigarettes.
I love cigarettes.
Do you smoke cigarettes?
I smoke cigarettes from 12 to 30.
Yeah, same.
I'd go back in a second.
I zen now.
Fuck that. Why? Know. There's going to be something in there that's just as bad as cigarettes.
Because I can breathe better. When I smoke cigarettes, I cannot breathe.
Cool as fuck and they rule.
I know, but once you get off of them, you do one and then you want to barf everywhere.
Yeah, but I miss them.
What do you do now? Are you weed bat? Are you weed boy again? Weed. At night?
Sure.
Day?
Yeah.
Before here?
Hell yeah.
Really?
I mean, I do.
You panic?
I do.
Look at that wall. See that wood wall?
Yeah,
that gives me a panic attack.
I do old man weed. I do this.
You do shake?
I got a one hitter. So I have like, I just do one of these.
But aren't you worried you're going to hit it a little too hard and go into panic mode?
No, I do one of these, and then I, like, wait 5 hours, and then I do one of these again, and I just get, like...
What's your most recent weed panic?
Oh, shit. I'll get high on the road. I'll get real high on the road, and then sometimes I'm in a hotel room, and it'll fucking buck.
Because it's a sad place?
I'll just be like, what if I die in here, and I don't want Katie to be alone, and also I don't want to fucking be found. I'm probably going to get be found in a hotel room, but, like, I just... I think about all the calls that would be made, like the call to my mom, and it just, and then I'm like, is my chest hurting? Am I dying? And then you just.
And you still keep doing it.
I love it.
Because you like to be on the other side of the panic.
I just like being high.
I don't smoke weed because I have such panic attacks and because I want to take a razor blade and remove all my skin whenever I do it.
That's nuts. You shouldn't smoke weed.
Yeah.
I get angry. I get really, really angry.
Oh, an angry guy?
Well, no. It's finally bubbled up to the surface. I think when I was like a teenager, I had a lot of shit happen to me and I just had to push it down.
What kind of shit?
People dying.
Yeah.
People not listening to me, not being acknowledged by my family, like kind of like being taught, like treated a little bit like a fucking butler.
Yeah.
At my house. And I just kind of was like, I never stood up for myself. And that resentment goes somewhere.
Yeah.
You have energy. It goes somewhere. So I just like spent a lot of times trying to be nice. I wanted to be liked. I felt I was abandoned by my father. So I wanted people to stick around.
Yeah.
I didn't want people to be abandoned. So I was nice to them. I'd give them stuff and be nice. And then they'd be mean to me. And I'd be like, that's fine. Just don't leave.
Yeah.
And then I'd be like, well, fuck that though. Like, don't be fucking mean.
Yeah.
And then it would just, and then I was drunk. And so it just all push down, and then it would go like, rah! Like I'd like lose at a video game and punch a wall and be like, where's that coming from? And then as I've been in therapy and cut down on weed, stop for a while, let the anger come to the surface, and I'm like, oh, when I'm sober, I get I read the news and I get like mad. I'm like, what? Not because I'm political, just because I'm like, why are people so fucking shitty to each other?
I get, because forever I've been like the funny one who was like fat, funny, butt of the joke.
Yeah.
So now if one of my friends, like the other day I was at dinner and I was like, I said something and they were like, Jordan, you don't know what you're talking about. And I just like, it got to here and I was like, I'm not like that anymore. You have to respect me because now I'm an adult and you don't get to treat me like I've always been. And they were like,
whoa.
Yeah. And I was like, sorry. Anyway, here's a fart noise with my arm.
Oh, goofy boy.
Yeah.
I'm a goofy boy. I think that's the, like, I don't know. I think that's where you have to get in order for your brain not to eat itself. Is like, you have to get to the point where you burn through the anger, you let it go, you work through it.
Yeah.
And like, and then you're like, because I hated that. I felt so phony being like, yeah, guys, everything's fine. And then I'm like, what the fuck, dude? And then now I'm just kind of like, well, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah.
And it's just up front. So I'm not an angry guy. I think I'm finally in touch with my anger and working through it. And so when I'm sober, I get like on edge a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I don't take SSRIs or fucking Zoloft or anything. I take a one hitter a week. I'm not knocking that.
Yeah.
If that fucking makes your life better, absolutely do it. I've just noticed my life's better when I take a hit of weed.
Yeah.
A hit.
It's the same thing.
And I just go like, oh, what am I mad about? I ain't mad about shit. This fucking rules. I'm going to, like, that's what happened today. I took it, like, I was real stressed out. I was helping someone on this, like, voiceover thing. And then, but, like, had to wake up and walk my dog and then fucking take a shower and fucking do all this shit. And then I, like, took a hit of weed and I was like, oh, this is all so much fun stuff.
Yeah.
What am I? This is just cool. I'm going to go hang out with Sagalo, go hang out with Jordan Jensen. And then what? Go finish the voiceover thing that's, like, a very funny thing that I'm helping someone with?
Yeah.
Great.
I forget that with comedy. I mean, I forget so much the things
we've
that
both
I have
had
to
jobs
do.
That have sucked asshole.
Oh, the worst.
All you have to do is just go, dude, I will walk my dog and we'll walk by a restaurant and they'll be setting up the cafe.
Dude,
and I'll
with be the like, roll ups, with the roll ups.
And I'll just be like, this is the best.
Oh my God.
Want to apologize to people and be like, I'm sorry I got out. I should be helping you set up cafe.
I walked into the walk-in cooler at the cellar the other night to get a Coke, and I was like, oh, the smell in here, the stockingness, like it's all, the grease, the mats that the food falls on. I was like, there used to be this, so happy I'm not back here.
There used to be this comedy club on McDougal and Bleecker.
Yeah.
It's where the JG Mellon is. It used to be a comedy club called CB's. It was in the basement. It was very fun. This was before I worked the cellar, but it was like me, Joe List, Norman, and Nate Bargatze, like everyone would go there and drink because it was ran by our buddy Wayne. And it was like Big J and Lewis. It was just like everybody was at this. It was this really tiny room. It used to be Sal's Comedy Hole. And Norman and I would do like four spots every Friday and Saturday, as much spots as we could get. And we would get drunk as fuck. And it was like 103 out. It was one of those New York City nights where it's just like oppressive heat. We got two beers each and went into the walk-in cooler and we're getting fucking hammered. And the waiter walked in and got so mad at us that that's all I think about when I hear walk-in coolers.
Yeah.
He was like, what? He was this gay dude. He's like, what the fuck are you doing? And we were like, it's hot out there.
That happened in the cellar. I got in trouble for going back there.
Really?
Yeah. The head cook like flipped out.
It was like, what the fuck are you doing back here?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I get it. We shouldn't have. We were in the wrong.
No.
But. You're like, damn, I forgot. Walk-in coolers, people get fucking heated.
They get pissed. It's their space.
Yeah.
It's their special place.
Because it really, for people in the service industry and in people that work in kitchens, you can just go in there and go like, cool off, truly cool off, and go like,
Do you remember this? Did you ever have to fill up the ice and break a glass in the ice? You ever do that move?
Yeah, then you'd have to do the red shit that you, what, for Shirley Temples.
Grenadine.
You put grenadine on the ice if it happened during a busy shift. So people, I remember when you'd be like coming to get a tray of drinks and you go to scoop ice and see grenadine and you're like, motherfucker.
Because there was glasses.
It's not your fault. Yeah. And you're like, I need two Diet Cokes because I did lunches. So I'd be like, I need two Diet Cokes, a fucking Coke and a Sprite, and I need ice.
It's the worst feeling when you break it in there and you're like, everybody's so mad.
I was never a company guy, but I'd get in people's ass if I saw them scooping ice with the glass. I'd be like, don't do that.
I was the glass scooper.
I'd be like, use the fucking thing.
I was too high. Me and my friend Brianna would work as bussers at my sister's restaurant, and we would get so high, and God forbid we accidentally walked up to the same table to refill the water. We would dump it all over their bodies on accident, start laughing so hard, become paralyzed, like couldn't breathe, and they're like, what is going
on? Service industry high. It was something I never did.
Yeah, but it's a video game. It's the funnest video game to be like, refill the water, get the bread, laugh.
I would be hungover every shift.
Yeah.
And I would forget orders every time. I'd be like sitting there talking to someone like, yeah, I don't know. Like, oh, fuck, 31 order, 2 enchiladas, oh, fuck. And then I go, and then I just walk up to the table and absolutely bury the kitchen and be like, sorry, guys, I don't know what's going on down there. I think something broke, but enchiladas should be up any moment.
Yeah, I don't know why I did it. I forgot the hang. I forget hangovers. I forget that that was a thing.
Oh, man.
I would get so slap happy during hangovers.
Really?
Yeah,
I would get that way if I smoked weed during a hangover.
I would, like, get so slap happy. Like, I remember looking out of the window and seeing a snowman. And turning and going, I love him. And my friend Brianna laughing so hard because she was like, that was the most authentic. Like, you just saw that snowman and were so organically in love with it.
Childlike love.
Yeah.
Came up.
You become retarded. You get fully retarded.
I would be a mess. I would be like old detective hungover.
Oh.
Where I'd be like, I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
I'd be like Nick
Men
Nolte.
Men be getting like that.
Yeah, North Dallas 40 Nick Nolte, like laying in a bathtub with a beer with ice on my head. Like, I don't fucking care because I would go hard. I would go until my body gave up.
Would you go? Would you eat? Would you have sex? What was your...
Eat? I never ate. So I'd get drunk on an empty stomach a lot. I'd get off work and be like, I just want to get fucked up. And then I'd be like, oh, I got to eat late. So I'd eat at the end of the night.
How did you justify drinking knowing your dad died of it?
Well, that's why when I got in therapy, it fucking changed shit.
But you, before then, you were just like,
I was like, I'm not like my dad. My dad was a fucking loser.
When did you start going to therapy?
2012.
You've been in it. Are you Alan?
Yeah.
You're an Alan?
Yeah.
I love Alan.
I've been going to him for 13 years.
He's on vacation.
It's great. It's kind of fun.
Did he, can I ask you something about Alan?
Yeah.
Has he ever guided you with relationship stuff?
Yeah. He's really helped me out. I would say I'm in a fucking healthy relationship because of him.
Has he ever guided you out of them?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He'll say shit that you go like, fuck that. And then you like leave and you go, he's fucking right.
I should just trust.
Yeah.
Because he.
Dude, there was one. He had a fucking bar one time.
Dude, he
I
has
dated
bars.
This fucking. She was wealthy. Beautiful. Really funny. Smart.
Impossible.
Like high society. Truly like high society. And I was fucked up. I didn't know who I was. I was like leaking. like just leaking all over people. That's how I feel like.
Yes.
Like I was just like, sorry. Like I had water in my pockets and I was just like,
yeah,
coming to her apartment.
Can you hold like, this? And it's just water. It's just and they're
oil.
Like, ugh.
Yeah, it's like yeah. oil on her couch. And she's like, oh. But then I'd be like, this fucking bitch. She doesn't fucking know me. But it was like, it was, now that I'm like in my 40s, I'm like, that was 100% my, me.
Yeah.
I just like wasn't centered.
Yeah.
This was like a woman that grew up with like a good family, like pretty wealthy or whatever. But I also think she was a little bit of like, she was on her own shit. She was smoking her own shit and thought she was too cool and wouldn't come to Queens to see me.
Yeah.
And like kind of was like trying to change me. Truly like said, like, I want to change you. Like,
yeah.
In so many words, being like, I want to change the way you dress. I don't like to eat. Like would do things that at the time I wasn't good at standing up for myself. So I'd be like, well, yeah, fuck, you know,
yeah.
This is what it is. And then I broke up with her and I was like, I just can't do this anymore. And we broke up. Well, we had like broke up and then got back together. And then when I broke up again, I was like, I'm fucking done, dude. And then Alan was like writing a note or something. And he goes, pearl in front of swine. And I was like, what did you say? He goes, you were a pearl in front of swine. She didn't know what you were. You know what I mean? And you're like, thank you.
He said you were the pearl?
Yeah. Because at first I was like, bitch, because I'm so defensive. I'm like, bitch, what? And he was like, no, I'm saying she couldn't recognize. She was trying to change you because she couldn't recognize what you are. And like, he was one of the first people. Obviously, I have raging dad issues. If you watch any of my stand-up, it's clear.
Yeah.
Most comics do. That's one of the
parents. Cut to a clip of Dan Soder. Fuck my dad.
Yeah, it just really, it's yeah. just like, but then you're like, oh yeah, I never had a guy in, I never bonded with my stepdad or my mom's boyfriends.
Yeah.
So this was the first, he was, my therapist is like the first guy that like, as a guy, told me I was valuable.
You can say Alan's dad. He's dead. He's my dad.
No, I don't think I'm like that. I think he's like a Jewish uncle, like a great uncle.
He yeah.
just is like really smart. And I'm like, I fucking love you, but don't ever kiss me on the cheek or I'd punch you in the fucking mouth.
Yeah.
He's just like a, he's like truly an old Jewish uncle.
Yes.
And I
one
love
day
it.
He was like, I can't read your emotions a lot of the times because you're just thinking and your eyes are moving. He was like, I don't know how you feel about me. And I just broke down crying. And I was like, I love you yeah, so much.
He just really is like, built me up in a in like I think I'm in a good relationship because of therapy. I think that's the benefit of therapy is like you need to find someone that makes you feel uncomfortable sometimes.
But like, I've been in this on and off thing that's off yeah. now, and he's been while I've been trying to make it work with this person, he's just like nah, mm-hmm. nah.
I met this girl. She had a boyfriend, which was gorgeous, and she like liked me. She had a boyfriend, and I was like. Trying to sell him on it. Like, so, you know, like, I know the boyfriend thing, but he was like, what are you doing? She's not available.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? No, but you don't understand. We've got, like, chemistry, and she's, like, really hot. He's like, what are you doing? She's not available. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And I was like, leaving, like, this motherfucker. And then he was right.
Yeah.
And I mean, that one, it was like, that I almost stepped on a rattlesnake on that one.
And he's
someone else in comedy started messing with her, and then I found out it was like a thing that she does.
Why do these chuckle fucks do this? I have so many friends who are trying to get fucked by married women, and by it's like they use comics as like this dirty rag to come into. I'm like, it's crazy.
But no, that no. Alan got me to get away from that, and I like truly.
And
like,
he's been gung ho about Katie the whole time.
He said last week, and I quote, in our last session before his vacation, he goes, "I think she was the first person you've ever been in love with. She's the first person you've ever dated that's truly, clearly seen you. Sees you for who you are."
How and dare he go on vacation? It's so long.
I know. It's a month.
It's a month.
You know Gary Goldman, What About Bobdom?
What does that mean?
He like found him on vacation. He like tracked him down on vacation. I think he called him. I don't think he showed up like, What About Bob?
But he tracked him down and called him? Yeah. I texted him the other day. I'll say it.
You can't. You got to respect the guy.
I said to him, I said,
I asked him how he undownloads all of our shit.
What'd he say?
He goes, I just go on vacation for a month and I don't think about anything and I just think about myself and I'm in the moment and I'm fucking so let me be in the moment.
I went to couples therapy, the final couples therapy where we broke up in.
Okay.
And he was like, let me know what happens.
Okay. That's different.
Yeah.
That's different.
Yeah.
No, I was like, hearty handshake face to face. Said, you have a good relaxing August. I'll see you in September.
Are you bored going in there now that you're doing good?
Football season. I haven't even began to deal with my sister's death. So there's like stuff.
Your sister died?
She got killed in the car accident when I was 16. She was my half-sister, my older sister. But yeah, I was very close to her. Really? She was one of the only people in my life that was truly good in every way. I love my mom. My mom's the best. You know, but before Katie, Michelle was the only person in my life that was truly good. That was like,
yeah, why those people get snatched?
I don't know, but
it's crazy.
It'll make you get fucked up. It'll make you get real good at drinking and smoking.
Yeah.
That's literally what we've been working on for like a year. It's like the moment that my sister died, I was like, oh, I'm just going to get fucked up all the time. Because our dad died. We shared a dad. And then our dad abandoned her too. When she was 4, he abandoned me when I was 5. She came into my life when I was 10 and she was 22. And then we were just like, she would come and visit. She lived in LA.
Oh, and she was maternal-ish?
Yeah, very. Big sister-ish.
Wow.
Very big sister-ish. Really pushed me. Knew I loved comedy. Would send me like articles about like Dana Carvey or Jim Carrey. She was like super into like teaching me about music. Got me into like Metallica, Guns N' Roses, and like really cool shit.
How old was she when she was in the car accident?
I was 16, so she was 28.
Damn.
Yeah. Sucked. She had another brother too that she lived with who's great. I haven't seen him in years, but yeah, we were both her brother, completely different worlds. Michelle lived with him. They grew up together. She was just like, she came into my life when I was 10.
She get into your life?
My mom and her mom got along great. And my mom was like, Michelle and Dan should have like a relationship. And my mom just called Michelle and she was like, do you want to start coming out, like staying with me in Colorado? My mom and my sister always got along really well.
And then she just came in and wasn't annoyed by a little 10-year-old and was just like...
No, she was like, I want to know who you are. You're my little brother. I have another little brother who's 10, and I have a brother that I don't know. And I would just be like, I fucking love Batman. I love pro wrestling and football. And she'd be like, yeah. And then she knew my dad sucked. So she was really there for me to be like, hey, so dad doesn't call me or talk to me ever. And she's like, yeah, he did that to me.
Wow,
yeah.
Which is so helpful.
So helpful. There was a moment specifically in my life that I remember very clearly being at my mom's kitchen table. My mom was dating her boyfriend, which she since apologized because it was very toxic in our house. They were drinking a lot.
Yeah.
They were, loved.
Did you ask
me
for an apology, an Alan apology?
I confronted her about it. And we had a great fucking conversation. I like confronted her about it and it like truly opened me up. And our relationship now is fantastic. My mom and I's relationship is like, I have boundaries.
You've done the confronting the Alan thing?
He told me to do it with my grandma. That's the only time I told Alan to fuck off. My grandma was like 87 and he's like, confront her. I'm like, Alan, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You're yelling at a dying dog.
Yeah.
I'm not going to teach. That's truly teaching an old dog new tricks. I'm not doing it. He's like, confront her. And you're like, no.
I haven't done the confronting thing. I'm too scared.
It's wild. I was like waiting. Honestly, this is the last time. Ever in my life, this was the last time I waited for roommates to leave to do something.
Yeah.
Like, even jerking off, I'm like, fuck it, I'll do it in the shower. I don't care if they're here.
Yeah.
But, like, when I was in, like, college and my, like, dorm room roommate would leave or, like, my apartment roommate would leave and I'm like, I can fucking jack off. As an adult, it was let my roommates leave so I can confront my mom. Like, one of my roommates went out and Vecchione went out and I called her and I was like, we got to fucking talk. You got to back the fuck up off me. And she was like, what? And then just came at me with all the mom tricks, you know, that moms know.
And the tricks like, that are like, I always loved you. I did my best. Yeah. I had sacrificed so much
for
you.
And then I'm like, pow, pow, pow. Like, yeah. No, Alan told me to say what I mean.
Yeah.
Deflect.
I just get so scared because I've lost a parent. And I'm like, what if this one dies?
You know what, though? It's better to do that than to live with it and just retain that resentment.
Yeah.
So I just did this. I did it. This was like fucking 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And there was crying, both, you know, like she cried, I yelled, she yelled. There was like a thing, and then like maybe a week of awkwardness.
Yeah.
We don't talk every day. We talk like once a week. But there was like 1 week of awkwardness, and then we like talked again, and I was like, damn, things are already like way better.
You confronted her about the boyfriend?
That was among other things. But that at that moment, I was like, you let a guy just fucking call me retarded and stupid. You called me retarded and stupid. You made me feel like shit. And my mom's like, I know. And my mom's like embarrassed by it.
Yeah.
She was like, I'm so sorry. I hate, like, I won't bring it up. I'm talking about it on a podcast now, which makes me feel bad. But I'm not doing it to rub it in her face. I'm just saying what happened.
Yeah.
Because I would never bring it up again. Because she truly apologized in a way. I was like, you feel, like, she said it in a way that was like, I'm fucking sorry.
Yeah.
Like, she said, I'm sorry. And I was like, yeah. And then you know the thing where you like, where someone, it's over, but you're getting a couple more shots.
Yeah.
And she was like, I get it. I'm embarrassed by it. When she said she was embarrassed by it, I was like, that's a very real feeling.
That is a real feeling.
So I'm not, and by the way, I love her. I don't hold that against her, but it is what happened. there was a moment where I was sitting at my kitchen table with my older sister, and I was like, I fucking hate Mom and Joe in the other room. And my sister was like, fuck them. Don't listen to them. They're wrong. I was like, they call me stupid all the time and shit. She's like, you're not stupid. I know you're not stupid. I talked to you. And then I was like, yeah, what about Dad and all them? And she was like, fuck that whole family. She was like, that whole family is just drama. And I was like, yeah, I know, but I like Aunt Karen. And she was like, fuck her too. That's drama. She's like, no, you're not crazy. She was the first person in my life that came in my life and was like, you aren't nuts. These motherfuckers are all off their rocker. She had a really great mom and a really great stepdad and her brother. You know what I mean? Like, I think her home life with her mom was less chaotic than mine. So yeah. It was like very easy for her to come in and go like, no, you're fine.
I had a mom that came in. What was her name?
Michelle.
The woman, my woman is also Michelle.
Really?
Yeah. My mom married a woman who came into my life and I was like morbidly obese, had crippling OCD. Like I needed everything to be cleaned all the time.
Yeah,
I
used which is clearly just a sign that something's very wrong.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I got to clean everything all the time. It's like, no, you don't. You're running from addressing something.
Yeah. And Michelle was just like, never brought up my weight, never brought up any of that.
Treated you like a person. Like,
yeah, totally. And it was, I mean, she's still very much my life, which is awesome.
That's awesome. I love hearing that. Yeah. I looked up for my stepdad because my stepdad was cool. We never bonded, but he was cool. He never
of your mom.
Me. Yeah. He, not the guy that was mean to me.
Yeah.
That was my mom's boyfriend. My stepdad was like the kind of low key.
Are they still together?
No, they divorced when I was. They got married when I was 8. They broke up when I was 11 or 12.
Why?
Just didn't work. I think my mom ran him down. My mom ran him down, and Nick was kind of like an easygoing guy, and he was kind of like, "I just fucking, this is wild."
Is she alone now?
Yeah,
but she's happy. I hate having a mom that's alone. I know they're happy.
You know what's funny is my aunt, my dad's sister, who died. Said it best. She was like, your mom will be happiest when she can learn how to be by herself. And then my mom learned how to be by herself.
Oh, she's a love addict.
Yeah. And she was like, and then now she's like,
why would I ever do this again?
Yeah. She's just great. If she dated, I would be fine with it. Whatever makes her happiest. Yeah. But I think right now she's like doing pretty good.
My mom is
like,
very
goes out
like
with her friends. They go out to like lunch and shit. And she just like fucks around. She's almost, she's 77. She just like fucks around and you're like, get it, Trish.
Wow.
And I'm not having kids. So I told her, I got your cable bill the rest of your life.
You know you don't want kids. You have a vasectomy?
Yeah, how'd you make the decision? Huh?
How'd you make the choice?
Conversations with Katie.
Oh, so it was, you didn't know until you talked to Katie.
I was on the fence. And then when it became real, I was kind of like, oh, yeah, I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't want to be, I don't think I need to have kids.
Yeah.
I think I am, I don't want to. And also, I think I'm much more effective being someone's uncle.
Yeah.
I think I'm far more effective being someone's uncle.
Yeah, I am the best aunt.
You're fucking, your parents are pissing you off when you're 15. Come and fucking hang out with your uncle in New York.
Yeah, you can be the Michelle to them.
Exactly. That's perfectly, no one's ever phrased it like that.
Yeah, where you can be like, you're not crazy.
Yes.
They're fucking crazy.
That's exactly it. And I think I would be having a kid for other people. I would be having a kid for my mom or like, because I talked, that was another conversation we had where I was like, because my mom wanted to be a grandma and I'm her only child. And I was like, listen, I'm not going to have kids. But what that does mean is I can help you. Like, I can help you out.
Yeah.
My resources aren't going to a child. And you gave me everything. You were a single mom. So I'm not.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm peeling off money for her. She's driving around in Mercedes Benz. But if she's like, my water cooler busted, you go, well, I got that.
Yeah.
Or my water, you know, like, or like my HVAC unit's on the fritz. You're like, well, get it fixed and I'll pay for it. Like,
that's a good point. I should say that to my mom because I can help her out whenever. And
I told
wants
her, I go, you can have a grandkid, but you'll have to go back to work.
Yeah, yeah.
At 77. You'll have to go work at Target.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to do that.
I just don't know if I want kids because I feel like there's the thing, comedy kind of is my kid, which is super selfish and stuff. But I see my friends who want a kid and they're like, my job is my job. I don't have a passion in it. I do it because it makes me money.
But they're passionate about raising the children.
Right, right.
By the way, I feel that like true freedom is like letting someone make their own decision.
Yeah.
If someone, I have friends that want kids to the point where they're spending $40,000 to $50,000 on IVF.
And
you're like, you know what? Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Because you want that bad. I want that for you. And by the way, I want to help you out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like later in life, I want to be able to pay for your kids' hockey pads.
Yeah.
Or pay for them to go to a summer camp because you're a little tight because you got two
kids. IVF is hard.
It's hard. But here's the thing. I'm supportive of that. So when I tell you that I don't want to do that, respect that.
Yeah.
Just go like, yeah, you don't want to have kids. Hey, I get it. You don't
want
to go through all that.
And Katie
don't go
kids.
Like, why? No, Katie and I, Katie said something to me that I was like, yeah, that's, she go, so we have a kid. I take care of the kid every weekend you're on the road.
Yeah.
And then you come home and you're just the hero.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I would. And by the way my personality is.
Oh, boy, you'd be the puppy dog. Oh, my God. You'd bring gifts back.
Ooh,
oh, my God.
Extravagant
socks?
Gifts.
Extravagant. Yeah, because all we have to do, we could just go to Dick's Sporting Goods on the road, buy something, bring it back.
Come back and go, hey, buddy, look what I got you.
Wow.
And then he goes, Mom's here telling me to eat vegetables. Because that's what, you know, a positive view of my mom is that's what I learned in therapy, was that my anger was so misplaced that I was mad at my mom for a long time. And then I realized it was like, oh, because she was the only one that was around. I couldn't be mad at my dad. My dad wasn't fucking here.
Yeah.
So I took the anger out on my mom. And then when I grew up, I was like, well, no wonder you weren't fun. You taught me a work ethic. You taught me how to do chores. You taught me how to eat vegetables, that I should have a balanced meal. My dad was just... We were eating fucking whatever we wanted at 11 p.m. going to Toys R Us and blowing $50.
Well, that's why women can't be president.
Yeah.
Because when they run, people are like, oh, it's my mom telling me how they want to run the country.
Oh, I don't want our vegetables.
Yeah. Every time I go on stage, I have to be like, I'm not your mother. I am basically a man. Listen to my low voice. I don't like children. Yeah, I don't like you.
What an effective opener.
Yeah, dude. You have to. When I walk on stage, I see them go, oh, mom's home.
Oh, mommy with tattoos.
Yeah. Yeah. The tattoos help immensely.
Yeah, because they go, mommy doesn't have tattoos.
Mommy doesn't have tattoos. Mommy won't let me get a tattoo. That's a cool mommy.
Oh, man. Whose mommy is it?
And then I go one further and I go, I'm not even your mommy. I'm your daddy because I don't fucking love you. And they're like, okay, okay.
All right. Now, what do you think about dating?
Yeah.
Views on dating.
Yeah. Now I'm going to describe my period in vivid detail. Remember, I'm not your mom.
I'm not your mommy. And I'm not, but I am your
daddy.
But I
do bleed.
Imagine if your daddy bleed out of
the
his pussy.
Tip of my dick.
Imagine if your daddy bled out his puss.
But I do think that's what it is. I think Hillary, I think Kamala, people, I mean, they're annoying as
fuck,
Kamala,
but I do. Kamala wasn't even fucking elected, so no. Right. That you can't even, like, they're surprised Kamala didn't win. It was like, yeah, you inserted her.
Yeah.
You did the thing little kids do where they go, that's, okay, but so now Joe can't go, so Kamala's going to go. But you can't be mad, and Kamala's going to go. Yeah. You're like, why are you changing the rules?
Yeah.
The rules are vote someone in. Have her run at the primary. Motherfuckers, you knew Biden was an exoskeleton.
Yeah.
That's why the Democrats, it's like, we're mad at you because you allowed all this shit.
Yeah, totally.
Also, fuck a party, two-party system. Get out of here.
What do you want?
At least six.
Six parties?
No electoral college.
Of course.
Run on policy. No money in politics, no Citizens United, no lobbying. You know, literally have to be a public servant and make like $50,000 a year.
Yeah.
It has to suck.
No, you get no
money. That's what
ancient
Rome was. Yeah. When they did the lock system.
They were dorks.
No, they would pick a rock. You would leave, and if you fucking picked a rock, you were just a part of the Senate. You like literally had to serve in government like that. Like, I dropped I think it was like a black pebble.
Like jury duty.
Yes.
Wow.
It was a civic duty that you had to go like, and they go like, we're going to bring up the roads. And you go, well, I live near there. Don't fucking do that. And you're like, well, I'm in the Senate for the fucking year or however long they did it. And they're like, fuck that. You're not going to fuck. And it was like an actual democracy where people. Yeah. Now it's just like, yeah, if you're a company. And by the way, both parties did this. Democrats allow fucking corporations to be treated like people.
Yeah. You know what's weird about the Electoral College I was thinking about? All the people who are for the Electoral College are against, what's it called when you let in black people because they have to be represented?
Equal action? Affirmative action?
Affirmative action. Those people are against affirmative action.
But for Electoral College.
But it's the same
thing.
Which
is the affirmative action of states.
Yes.
It's like, because Iowa, you don't have anybody.
Yes.
So we got to make you important.
I don't get how that's...
Thank you for the corn and the wheat and all the crops.
Yeah.
But we got fucking millions stacked on people here.
It's really weird. The
reason
they
do it is to balance it out because, like, obviously if you live in a giant city, you're going to be a little more liberal because you're around people. You understand. You know what Egyptian music sounds like. You know what a skinned lamb looks like.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? When you live in like a suburb plot in the middle of Oklahoma, you go, well, I like Jamba Juice, but I won't get the Arab kind.
Yeah.
And you go, you don't even know.
You don't get a vote.
Yeah. But but that's also why how you balance it. It's supposed to be a system of balancing. I don't know. It's all fucked. But comedy's fun.
comedy's fun during the fuckery, for sure. It is very weird. The Israel stuff is really weird. It's getting weird.
I'm so stupid that I shouldn't even... I don't have a solution, so why the fuck am I going to talk about it?
Everybody has a solution. Every girl in Brooklyn right now really thinks they have a solution. If I hear one more person yell out, free Palestine, I mean, what are they thinking is going to happen? We're going to walk up to a gate and go free!
You flee now! I think you hold the children of the powerful people accountable. Go after their kids.
Like,
so like Netanyahu's son like lives in Miami and he's like, Joe Rogan doesn't want my dad on his podcast because he just knows that he's anti-Semitic. And it's like, no, you're a shitty rich kid. Like, it's like mafia kids. You ever see like mafia kids? I'm fascinated by this. There's always these like, these mafia bosses are always like from the gutter.
Yeah.
Like fucking had to kill a dog with a nail file in order to get their first glass of orange juice.
Yeah.
And like they like work their fucking dicks off. They break their moral code at every turn in order to climb. And then they have these shitty rich kids. They just have these kids that are born in houses with columns on it and in gates. And then these kids see their dad and they go, I gotta be my dad.
Yeah.
I gotta be like him. I'm a fucking gangster. But you're not. You're a rich kid.
Yeah.
It was like when Michael Irvin called out his son because he was trying to be a rapper. And his son was like, yo, I'm from these streets. And Michael Irvin's like, you grew up in a $15 million home.
He did it publicly?
Oh, yeah. Like,
wow.
Like really shit on his kid. To the point that you're like, I don't think that was the way to go.
Yeah, either. Yeah.
But all these, like, you don't like the Clintons? Be mean to their grandkid when she's like on Instagram. Like,
oh, instead of just letting it fly?
Yeah, just like that's how you do change. Bully their children.
I think that's a good move. Yeah, take fuck him hostage. Yeah.
Like, go bully Netanyahu's son. And he's like, Dad.
He's in Miami?
He's like, Dad, stop. I can't get bottle service. I don't live anymore. They won't fuck me anymore because you're fucking starving kids in Gaza.
That works sometimes. I mean, didn't that?
I'm just saying that fucking
that
works.
That does work.
You have your kid because the kid, if they're not complete sociopaths, is the one line to their heart.
Didn't that happen with Trump when his daughter was kind of like pro-abortion and he had to kind of be like, ooh.
I don't know, but that's why he went on all those podcasts. It was because Barron was like, you should go on podcasts. And Trump was like, oh, yeah?
That is a good move.
You just go after their kid.
Because, yeah, parents are obsessed with their children.
Unless they're sociopaths.
Right.
Or narcissists. And then they're like, well, I don't fucking
care. Elon Musk's kids are like trans.
Yeah, well, they don't even, like, he doesn't even... You know what I found out about this? And again, I don't know if this is true. He's all IVF.
He's all IVF with his kids?
Yeah. Someone told me he's not pumping and dumping.
I can't imagine him having sex.
But that's like finding out that fucking the owner of Burger King doesn't work at a Burger King. Like
finding out that Genghis Khan was just like, take this syringe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Genghis Khan was fucking.
I know. Was he short?
I don't know, but that is a short king move.
Yeah.
And also, short guys are better on horses, I've heard.
They got to be.
Well, that's like
the tall guy on horse. You want a horse? Get out of there. That's crazy.
Topple right over. But that's why they said the Comanche were like one of the most fierce tribes of all time because they were like short, little squatty fuckers. People. And they used to get bullied. They got bullied by the other tribes. And then when the Spaniards brought the horse over, they were like, we're just going to get sick at this.
Now we're huge. And look how tall I am now. I'm on a horse.
They're like, we'll kill all of you. Comanches used to just walk around other tribes like, fuck, here they come. They were like awesome. Vicious. Vicious.
Well, that's like Mexicans when I have them hang my drywall. I've never seen anything like it. It's incredible.
The way they work?
There's so much. It's crazy. I couldn't do a quarter of what they're capable of.
Did you ever watch the documentary American Factory on Netflix?
No.
It's really good. It's about this glass company that buys a factory in Ohio, and they're Chinese.
Yeah.
They're a Chinese-owned company, and they buy this factory in Ohio, and all the people that work at the factory in like the town, they're like, we're American. This is hard work. And then they open the factory and the Chinese bosses are like, you guys don't work. And they're like, no, we're Americans. We work hard. And they go, I don't think you understand this. We break human rights codes. And then they bring in Chinese workers. And the Americans are like, this is insane.
Yeah.
Like, this is insane. And then there's a scene that's I think about all the time. There's a scene where the Chinese workers are like smoking cigarettes after like a fucking 18-hour day, squatting, smoking some butts. And they're like, Americans, you guys are too emotional. Like they just straight up call us pussies.
We don't know how to do it. Japanese die from overwork like every so many times a day. It's called karoshi.
That's
crazy. And they literally just will be walking and die because they, dude, I had like a Japanese friend in college and I'd be like, dude, you have to go to bed. And he'd be like, you have to go to bed.
I'm working.
Like, I'm fine.
But it's crazy. And what's funny is it's like this idea that we've turned the American work ethic into like something we're proud of. And you're like, oh, dude, we'll get smoked by Asian countries. Asian countries, that's why they make everything there. The reason they don't make stuff here is because we were going like, hey, we want a good break room.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, my friend died. And they're like, you didn't stop working. And they're like, no, I didn't stop working.
But there's some code of honor, too. I mean, there is like a, like, I work for my.
You could just say that they've also brainwashed them into thinking that working hard for a guy
means something.
Like, yeah.
No, whereas ours is like you have an individual enterprise that you have to become.
Yeah, you're
but we worship one guy all the time. We love Abe Lincoln. We love one guy.
We love a guy.
We love a guy.
Well, it's simplified for our monkey brains.
But China's like, we like Mao. The rest of us are just guys supporting Mao. They don't have their guys. Yeah. You know? We have so many guys. We have Pokemon of guys.
A good choice of guys is that's real freedom.
We love that. And we want to be a guy. And we have so many guys that we think we can be the guy.
Well, we think if we like the guys and we're nice to the guys, they'll make us a guy. Like the mob. Like, oh, I'm good to this guy, they'll make me.
Yeah.
And you go, they'll use you.
Yeah. We also think if we're special, we'll become a guy. Like Abe Lincoln, you're like, he was weird and had a wife that hated him and was tall, and we're like, if I'm weird.
Yeah.
I'm going to be Abe.
Dude, that did happen, though, like with when my dad and my sister died and like I was in that place. I was kind of like, well, fuck it then. I might as well just try to go. Like that was where I first started being like, well, I love being funny. Fuck it. Maybe I'll be a comic.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, oh, this.
Oh, I remember when my dad died being like, oh, my God, I'm a dead dad girl.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
DDC.
People are going to fuck me because I'm sad.
Yeah, dude. Dead parent people fuck.
Dead parent people fuck to fill the void so hard. There's an emptiness
we need to fill it with.
I do, yeah. And it's like when my sister got RAPED, I was like, now she just gets to be the rape girl.
Oh, no.
Isn't that awesome? Forever she's just the... I was 10 years old having that thought. I was like, oh, everything cool happens to her.
Yeah, but when you're 10, you want bad shit to happen.
Yeah.
Because then you think you're going to be like, cool. Yes. You don't realize how much it hurts.
It's so bad. It's so bad. I don't want to be that girl.
Because I always loved like the old sheriff or like the old weathered hero that you're like, look at that badass. And you're like, yeah, he had to go through like.
No, he lost his family.
A ton of stuff.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Ulysses doesn't end up.
Like all the like Greek tragedy shit. You're like, they went through a ton of.
Yeah.
Or Roman tragedies. Like, they're fucking horrible.
Yeah. I know. Like, and that's what you want as a kid.
Yeah.
But it doesn't end up the way you want it. If you get RAPED.
Sometimes you're good at doing voices because of it. Because of loneliness.
True. That's
Learn
true.
Impressions. Oh, getting graped?
Getting graped.
Not good.
It doesn't, you don't become the stoic person that you think. You usually wear a lot of eyeshadow later in life.
You got to do a lot of therapy.
There's a lot of therapy. It's heavy lifting.
Yeah, you're not just fucking brushing that off. You don't get shot and just put a Band-Aid on it.
God, I forgot about wanting bad things to happen so bad.
Oh, my God. Dude, I remember being like 12 and being like, I didn't talk to my dad. And like lying and being like, yeah, if my dad died, I wouldn't even fucking care.
Yeah.
And he died, and I was like, I was just kidding.
Yeah.
14-year-old me is like, that was a fucking joke, dude.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
I still have that tendency. Like in a relationship, I'll be like, maybe if I don't pick up, they'll think I died. I'm like, what is going on?
Whoa. Yeah, you gotta start doing the stuff he says.
I'll do the stuff he says. He's right every time. It's just hard because it's fucking.
It's the same way that people go, how do you lose weight? Diet and exercise. And everyone goes, can I take Ozempic? And you go, sure, but diet and exercise, if you get used to just
this is what
exercise.
I was talking about before you came in is I was like, there's a big strong man and there's a little twinkie man, and the big strong man has been working out Jordan all the time, being like, I'm gonna eat sugar, I'm gonna date men who hate me, I'm gonna fucking think that I'm not capable and unlovable. And he's strong because I've been building him up since I was 4. And there's a little scrawny guy going, hey, but what if we actually maybe could like date people who loved us and also could like give us some healthy food? And he goes, shut up, bitch, you don't know anything. He goes, okay. So I have to keep beefing that little guy up.
Yeah,
and that's what
that's
I'm
exactly
on.
That's exactly it. That's a perfect analogy.
Yeah, I'm going to beef him up.
You got to beef him
up. It's hard.
And then there's a moment where he punches the big guy, and the big guy goes, ow. And you go,
dude.
Getting some change. Because my little guy is like pretty big now. My little guy's a little bit bigger than the bad guy.
It's awesome.
And it works, but the bad guy wins sometimes still. And you go, I'm going to eat some late sugar.
Yeah.
I fucking suck.
But that's okay, because the little guy just was looking away for a second. And he'll come back.
Get that sugar out of your mouth.
Yeah. Get back on the life
path.
What are lifeguards on? The lifeguard thing. Oh, keep on the lookout.
Yeah.
Because that's what
get
it is.
Get up there, dude. We almost had a drowning.
You got to get him beefy, though. Yours is beefy, and that's 2012.
I've been beefing him up for 13 years.
Yeah.
13
And
years.
Part of beefing him up is when he fucks up, you go, that's all right, get back up there, buddy.
There's times where I just do not want to go to therapy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? I have nothing to talk about. And then I'll leave crying.
Yeah.
Being like, oh, that worked.
Yeah.
There's moments where it pops. Baby, when it pops, it pops.
It pops. He'll pop.
I'll call people. I'll call Katie to go.
I've had both me and Alan crying.
Oh, making Alan cry? I'm going to tell you right now. I've done it a couple times.
Dude, I sent him my special. Comes out September 9th. And he wrote me like a long text of appreciation. Did you get one of those?
I'll show you what I got that I fucking saved.
I have to go to therapy.
Oh, you do?
But show me right now.
I thought, I don't.
No, I have another one.
What are you doing, dude?
I have two. I'm fucked up.
Oh, man, you really get it in.
I get it in. I'm trying to beef him up. He's going to get strong.
This right here was Alan's text to me after I recorded my HBO special in 2019. And I saved it.
This is verbatim what he wrote. No, it's completely different. So it's
completely different. Dude, if it was a copy and paste, we both kill ourselves on the podcast. Where we go. Yeah, we found out we were getting double dipped by our therapist.
Dude, he wrote a thing being like, I know you think you're too dirty, but like all of your dirty jokes relate to humanity in some way. And I was like, Alan!
He said something at the end where he was like, your father would be very proud of who you are. And you're like, bah! Bah! One of those cries. And you're just like, bah!
We're like,
don't touch me. Don't touch me. I'm getting it out.
I'm okay. I'm okay.
Puke crying.
Yeah.
I love you. I think you're
fucking
phenomenal. Thanks. Keep working on yourself. You're hilarious. We're naturally one of the funniest people I've ever met in my life.
You too. I feel the
and
same
I
way.
I think your stand-up's phenomenal.
Top three comics. Stop Dan Soder. It. Yes.
When's your special coming out?
September 9th.
On what?
Netflix.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
DanSoder.com. I'm on tour like a motherfucker.
Oh, yeah. Good call.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.